From the NBC Sports Grill and Brew at Universal Orlando Resort, here's David Faraday.
How are you doing? Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you. I love people with low standards. Oh. My guest tonight, singer-songwriter Darius Rucker, discovered his musical dream sitting in front of the family TV and his destiny in a University of South Carolina shower in the mid-1980s. Hopefully he was by himself. He became the frontman for the alternative rock band Hootie and the Blowfish, but after 14 years and 21 million CDs sold, Darius had another bright idea. How about a solo career in country music? With very few mentors to light his path forward, Darius did what he always does so well. He sang, and his words and his music carried him into country music's promised land.
Well, growing up, your influences extended beyond country, didn't they? Who were some of the artists that you were keen on?
Growing up, it was Al Green and Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, Gladys Knight and the Pips, and then getting a little older, and you know, Billy Joel and R.E.M. and Kenny Rogers and Charlie Pride, and for me it was really all about the songs. Ever since I was a kid, all I cared about was songs. I didn't care about, you know, if it had a twang or it had a funky beat or whatever. If I liked the song, I liked the song.
I always thought if I were going to be in Earth, Wind, and Fire, I would be wind.
I have to agree with that one.
Yeah. Were you a Beatles fan at all?
Oh, huge, huge. I'll never forget being a six-year-old kid, I guess. I think it was a 5 or 6-year-old kid. And we had one of those old hi-fis that had the sliding doors where you kept your albums.
Right.
And I was down in there listening to albums, and I found these two Beatles 45s. It was "Wanna Hold Your Hand" and you know, "Please Please Me." And it was, I mean, I just put them on, and was, I just remember being just instantly blown away. I'm a huge, huge Beatles fan.
With influences from Liverpool to Detroit and beyond, Darius Rucker grew up in South Carolina with an ear for great songs. American Bandstand, Soul Train, and Hee Haw brought the best of America's music scene into Darius's living room, where he listened and sang along. At the University of South Carolina, he met a young guitarist named Mark Bryan, and together with Dean Felber and Jim Sonnenfeld, they created the breezy, chart-topping sound of Hootie and the Blowfish. Between 1994 and 2010, with Darius as the front man, Hootie and the Blowfish recorded 5 studio albums, had 8 top 40 singles, and sold 21 million albums. But by 2008, Darius set his sights on a solo career in country, and with that warm baritone, he's charted 4 number one albums and 7 number one singles. Darius's career bonanza in 2 genres got its most important boost back in 1994 when talk show host David Letterman heard Hootie's "Hold My Hand."
He was driving home after work one day, and Z100 in New York actually played it the only time they had ever played it. And, you know, Letterman heard it on the way home, and this was like a Tuesday, and he called up his booker and said, "I want this Hootie and the Blowfish band on the show," and we were on that Friday.
Wow.
And the next day, it was, you know, hold
took
on.
Off.
Hold on, man.
So, I mean, it really changed your life.
Oh, yeah.
I guess.
One of the things I said to him is, you know, this would have never happened without you, because it really changed our lives.
Isn't it funny? You know, just one single playing one time on one radio station,
yeah.
and there you are.
Absolutely. It was an explosion after that.
Letterman is alleged to have said, "If I had that guy's baritone, you know, you could kiss my ass."
You know, you never knew what Dave was going to say. He said some great things about us over the years. And when he said, "If I had this guy's voice, you could all kiss my ass," I went, wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that was great.
Compared to singing, is golf hard or easy?
Oh, golf is so hard.
But you broke 70 for the first time.
I broke 70 for the first time at Bulls Bay. I was very proud of myself. That was a great day of golf right
there. That's a cool feeling. Why do you think the great performers, you know, whether, you know, they're in, you know, business, sports, or entertainment, why do you think they find their way to golf?
I think a lot of people who are successful love the fact how it's you against the course.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. It's like basketball, you need, you know, a couple guys to play and stuff like that. But golf, it's you against the course. And that makes, I mean, it's so funny you ask, because my son said something the other day, because he plays all the team sports. And he said to me, "I like golf the best because that's the sport, it's me. It's all on me, I do." I was like, that's exactly one of the reasons I love it. It's the whole game. I know how to swing. I've done it a million times. Now can I go out and do it for 3.5 hours?
What was it that got you started in the game?
I was 14 years old, and I got a buddy who's still my best, you know, he's still one of my best friends in the world. We see each other all the time, but we grew up together. And his dad was a captain in the Navy, Captain Richard N. Johannes. How you doing, Captain? And one day they used to, you know, I'd be at his house a lot. And one day I was 14 and they were going golfing and he said, Darius, you want to go golfing with us? It's like, absolutely. I've never thought I'd play a game of golf. I'd love to go. And instantly hooked on the game. Love it. And then later, Captain Johannes gave me my first set of clubs and stuff like that. And it was just, for me, it was just that game that I've loved. And then when I got my 20s and started to really want to be good, you know, I met Peter Jacobson and I met Peter Costas and I met, you know, Gary McCord and those guys started giving me lessons and stuff like that.
But you still wanted to play, even though.
I know, I still wanted to play. But yeah, they started teaching me how to play and I started getting better and that's when I really fell in love with it.
How often do you play?
I play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
The last 30 days, I've probably played 23 rounds of golf.
You look kind of guilty saying that.
I do feel guilty saying that. But it's one of those things where I play in the morning with my friends, and then after school, he wants to go out and play, and so we go out and play.
Who sets up the games on the road?
Oh, I'm a tour manager.
Yeah.
And we play every day. Yeah. Like, one of my favorite things in the world to do is we'll finish a show, and we'll get in the bus when we're leaving, and when I wake up, I'm in the parking lot of a golf course.
Really?
And I love that. That happens almost every day on the road, yeah.
You ever feel like writing a song about it? Or have you?
I don't know if I could be cool enough to write a song about golf.
or uncool enough?
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
I've been asked to write some songs, but I don't know if I could be cool enough to write a song about golf.
Well, what is your home course?
Home course, I got a couple. I play at Bulls Bay, which is in Charleston.
And in Charleston?
The Charleston Country Club. And Yeamans, those are the three places. But I'm a member of like Cacique and some of the places out here, too. But Bulls Bay and Country Club are probably my home courses.
Well, as of June the 1st this year, your handicap is 6.1, something like that. That's pretty good. So the 68 you shot last week was, 62 net?
Yeah. Well, if you look at it that way, it was. But that was a, you know, when you're hitting it good all day and you don't know why and you don't ask why and you just go and you do that was awesome.
And it's usually different the next day, isn't it?
Oh, I shot 82 the next day. I really did.
What's the best golf you've ever seen in person?
Oh, the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
The Ryder Cup. Davis is a really good friend of mine and I played 3 or 4, maybe 5 of his charity shows and he calls me up and says, hey, you ever been to the Ryder Cup? And I said, no. He's like, well, come this year. I was like, all right. So I think I'm just going to go and maybe get in the ropes and be cool. And I get to the hotel, and there's a young lady standing there with my keys and everything. And I go up, and I realize that I'm staying on the players' hall because I see their names on the doors and everything. I'm like, this is cool. And Davis is waiting for me at dinner downstairs. I think we'll have a little dinner. And I go in, and it's the players' dinner. And it's me, the players, and their girlfriends and wives, and Jack Nicklaus and his wife.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
What a cool moment.
And I had one of those moments where I was like, this is unbelievable. And I was in every meeting and got to go everything, got to, you know, had my own players I had to take care of. And it was just really, that was the best golf I've seen live.
That
Patrick Reed, Rory match.
Yeah.
We had to follow Patrick because Patrick had said online that I was his favorite singer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to hang with that guy. And I had to follow Patrick the whole day. And that was some of the greatest golf I've ever seen. That was probably the best match I've ever seen.
What's the best advice you've ever received about the game?
This is the best and the funniest advice that I've ever received. I'm playing with Peter Costas, and he's playing lesson, and we're having a great time, and I'm hitting it pretty good. And I said to Peter, can you teach me how to spin it back? I was like, I just want to hit it. He said, Darius, I've been playing with you for 3 years, and I've never seen you hit it past the hole. So that was the best and the funniest advice I've ever gotten.
Yeah, it can be an evil swine, Costas.
Exactly.
When you went to university, was it South Carolina? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you had another career in mind?
Yeah, I wanted to be a sports journalist.
Oh, there's no future in that?
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. But for me, it was, I wanted to sing since I was 4, but at some point, you go, I got to get a real job. I'm a kid from South Carolina. I'm never going to get that break to go be a famous singer or anything like that. And so I decided I was going to go to school for broadcast journalism because I wanted to be a sportscaster, and that didn't work out too well, but I'm okay.
You know, there's a sort of a reverse coincidence there because I grew up wanting to be a singer and ended up as a sports broadcaster. It's kind of the opposite. Yeah. And you're welcome, America, that I did not become a singer. How many songs have you written through the years?
Oh, Goodness, thousands, I would think.
Really?
Over the years.
Yeah. That many? How many have been hits?
12, maybe. 13, if I'm lucky.
12 or 13 is not bad. Can you give me a crash course in writing a country hit? I mean, I know you've got a guitar with you. Yeah. What about the mechanics of writing a song?
For me, the hardest part about writing a song is deciding what you're going to write a song about.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it harder to write the lyrics or the music?
The lyrics.
Yeah.
The music, it's
in your head somewhere. It's 8 chords, just
yeah. You know what chord goes after, what chords can go after that chord, and you do that. But the lyrics, because in country music, you got to write songs that people can relate to. People that you got to tell a story, and that could get hard to do it the right way and try to do it originally.
If I throw a couple of subjects at you, you know, see what you come up with. Dogs, my favorite, and Nashville.
All right, not together, but separate songs or a song about dogs in Nashville?
Well, a Nashville dog, maybe.
Picked up a photo of my dog named Red. My mama lied to me, didn't want to tell me he was dead. And he went down to Nashville and we bought a new one, but he was nothing, no nothing like Red.
that's a true country song. Yeah, you know, your dog even dies.
I know, he died in the first line.
Yeah, brilliant. Let me see, you'd be the third black guy to be offered membership in the Opry. It was DeFord Bailey,
yep.
Charlie Pride. I was thinking Clint Black has to be up there as well. No. Well, it was founded in 1925. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. There's been so many things that have happened with me since I've been in Nashville that just I never thought about. Like when we first had a first hit with Don't Think I Don't Think About It, and you know, everybody started talking about, you know, the first African-American in 25 years to have a hit in the top 25. And then every time it moved up, it was this, that. And I never thought about that. I just thought about, well, I want to go make some music. And so anytime I mention with Charlie Pride and anytime I'm helping to break down some barriers, I think it's a pretty cool thing.
Well, this is Rapid Fire with Darius Rucker. It is your clever answers to my stupid questions. Not unlike the rest of the show, actually. What's your favorite color?
Garnet.
What's your favorite drink?
Red wine.
Favorite food?
Italian, anything.
Favorite movie?
Tie between Godfather 1 and 2 and Stir Crazy.
What's your favorite venue?
My favorite venue to play in is Red Rocks in outside of Denver.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Guilty pleasure?
Barry Manilow. I just love him.
Barry Manilow?
Love him. I think he's great. I don't think he's a guilty pleasure.
Okay. No, it sounds guilty to me. I don't know why. Yeah. Yeah. Life hero?
Oh, my mom. For sure.
Your favorite golf course?
Augusta National. Nothing's even close.
Acoustic or electric?
Electric. I always like to play plugged in.
Al Green or Johnny Cash?
Oh, I couldn't pick between those two. Okay. I'd have to say both. I couldn't pick between those two.
The golf course you want to play but haven't?
St. Andrews.
Good one. Favorite song that you've recorded?
It'd have to be Let Her Cry.
Favorite song you wish you'd recorded?
Folsom County Blues.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's your favorite team?
My favorite team is the University of South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yeah. What's your favorite professional team?
Miami Dolphins.
Okay. Boxer briefs or commando?
Boxer briefs, actually.
Oh, boxer briefs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hybrid. That's it. Rapid fire with Darius Rucker, and nobody wins anything, as usual. You said your mom's your hero. She raised you by herself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was five brothers and sisters and me, and you know, after a while, it was just her with me and when I was young, and... It was one of those things where I didn't even think about it. I loved my childhood. I'd do it again the exact same way. You always had somebody to play with. We had a great neighborhood. It was really one of those takes a village kind of neighborhoods, you know. And it was awesome. And she was a rock, man. She was a rock. She was a wonderful human being who raised us to the best of her abilities. And she was always there for us. When she died, making the music went from something I really wanted to something I had to do. Because I know somewhere she's watching and I wanted, you know, to make her proud. And, you know, I started working even harder after that. But, yeah, she was my rock.
Did you have any kind of relationship with your father?
I knew him. I knew who he was. And every now and then, if he was around where we lived, he'd come in and say hey or whatever. But there was this point there where I went about 15 years without seeing him.
You talk a lot about South Carolina. What is it that makes you love the place so much?
Mostly the people.
Yeah.
I love the people of South Carolina. We, you know, we have our differences and we have our problems like everybody else, but everybody's nice. Where I live, everybody's nice. You know, nobody, if the light turns green and you don't go through, nobody blows the horn. And if somebody does, you know they're not from Charleston.
They're not from Charleston.
You know, it's that kind of thing. We're just really nice people. I love the people of South Carolina.
You use the game as a force for good, too. Tell me about the Monday after the Masters.
Oh, goodness, years ago. 22 years ago now.
Is it 22 years?
Or 23, yeah. They came to us and said that we have this golf tournament. It's not doing too well. Would you guys like to work with it? We're like, yeah. And we figured we'd do it for a few years. You know, and our first big golf, Fred Couples was the big name that we got. It was a pro-am. And we had tons of people. We had Brandel Chambly was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played with him that day. And it was a bunch of cool names and celebrities. And 22 years later, it's just unbelievable how much it's still grown. Like, we've thought about, you know, maybe we could end it, but we can't. It's come such a staple in South Carolina now that we have to do it. But it's a fun tournament. We raise a lot of money for South Carolina's Junior Golf and for Hootie and the Blowfish Foundation, and it's a lot of fun.
You've had some great people there over the years.
Tiger, we've had Jack. Arnie came twice and played with us, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the names we've had, it's been wonderful, really, really awesome.
Yeah, is it a good party afterwards?
The party is, it's legendary. It's some great stuff has happened. We've had some fun times, and it's great because all the musicians that come all get up and play a song.
Are you able to stop John Daly from playing?
Nope. Knocking on Heaven's Door will be played every time he's there.
Every time.
Every time, absolutely.
What makes someone a great performer?
I think the thing that is that ability to make people want to look at you. Like, my favorite performers were people that I couldn't take my eyes off. You know, James Brown, Michael Jackson, you know, Kiss. You can't take your eyes off of Kiss. I don't care how many times you've seen him, you can't take your eyes off. And for me, that's what it's about, is having that it factor and taking it to a new level. And the great thing is you have those guys that are dancing that we're talking about, then you have somebody like George Strait, who is a great performer and is the exact opposite of that. You know, he's a singer and he stands there, but you can't take your eyes off him.
I differ with you on one thing. I mean, I find it difficult to look at Kiss. Yeah. Are there similar qualities that make a great golfer, you think?
Yeah. I think that that ability to show up and to be great when you show up. That's something that's a music
game. People certainly couldn't take their eyes off Tiger.
Yeah.
No question about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And I mean, and Jordan, when he first started, even now, people can't, when he's playing and he's playing good, you can't take your eyes off.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, you want to watch every shot. So I think there's a lot of the same qualities.
Who are your, say, pick three favorite players?
My three favorite players ever?
Yeah.
Arnie.
Right.
Tiger.
Yeah.
Tiger. You know, he's a great friend, and there was nothing like watching Tiger dominate.
Oh, yeah.
When he dominated. There was nothing
it's unbelievable.
Like I've never seen anything about it. And probably my third favorite player, DJ.
Yeah.
I love watching him play. Nobody hits it like that.
Man. Effortless.
Yeah.
You know, as someone that knows a thing or two about pleasing a crowd, what's working on the PGA Tour these days and what isn't?
The thing that's working is the guys with the personalities. You know, Patrick Reed and DJ and Rory and you know Jordan and those guys are Ricky.
Yeah.
You know, I when I look at the PGA Tour now, all I want is to see what happens when Ricky Fowler wins a major. You know, that's the and I think that's really that's working. I mean, you have the guys that can play and who are quiet, who I'm probably not mentioning because they're quiet and they don't pop into my head like the guys with the big personalities do. And I think that's what's working. That's what's making people tune in when they tune in.
Well, you're helping the next generation of golfers too. Tell me a little bit about the Darius Rucker Collegiate.
Oh, it's great. That's the thing. Some of the things I'm so proud of. Hootie and the Blowfish. We have a men's golf tournament at Bulls Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we have some of the big schools that come and play, and I have the Darius Rucker Invitational, which is a women's college golf tournament that I have in Hilton Head. I mean, it's just great. I've been doing both of those for years, and it's great to see the up-and-coming stars. Like, with the Hootie, I've watched so many guys come through there. You know, I remember playing with, J.B. Holmes when he was still John Holmes and saying, you know, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but you can't go into the pro in the PGA with the name John Holmes. Yeah. You know, and it was, yeah. I mean, those tournaments are so great to watch the future of both sports coming through. And I'm proud to have golf tournaments with my name on it that are for the college kids who are going to that next level.
If you were able to take a mulligan on, anything unfortunate or embarrassing in your life or career, what would it be?
Oh, good.
I mean, wow. I wouldn't have lost the Scottish Open trophy or...
That's a good question. I honestly, I don't never look at things that way because everything happened for a reason. And if I could take a mulligan and go back and change something, I might not be sitting here talking to you. So, you know, all the good and the bad, I got a song about it. You know, all the good and the bad is what led me here to where I am, and I'm pretty happy where I am.
What about Drinking and Dialing?
That's one of those great fun songs. Me and a couple of buddies wrote that, and we were talking about, you know, how you just drunk dialing, you know, you dial your buddy and you say something stupid or, you know, somebody sends you some picture late at night and you're like, why did you send me this picture?
Yeah.
And we started writing about drinking and dialing. And my favorite line in that song is the next time you think I've had too much to drink and you tell me I shouldn't drive home when you take my keys, I'm begging you, please take my cell phone. I just love that line. I go, that's a lot of us should live by that line. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, absolutely. Drunk texting is worse.
Oh, absolutely. And drunk texting gets you in trouble. Like, I was drunk texting one night, and I ended up having to play a free show at the University of South Carolina. Exactly, yeah, so that'll get you in trouble.
Well, there have been a number of golfers throughout the years, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Greg Norman, have been really successful off the golf course. You're kind of pointing your career in a different direction as well with MGC Sports, you know, getting into the business side of looking after players.
Yeah, absolutely. A buddy of mine had a company and he was moving on and merging with this other company and wanted me to be a part of it. And I loved it. I loved it because golf, I love golf, I love football. And we moved on and to become agents for some great golfers and some great football players. And for me, I just want to help with the little stuff. You know, I can't go get you a deal with, you know, Coke, but I can come here and sit down and have dinner with you and work out with you and play golf with you if you're looking for somebody to play golf with. And it's just great to be a part of that because I'm so into sports. I'm so into golf and so into football. And to be a part of the inner workings is pretty fun.
And you can give advice, I assume, you know, to some of the younger players on how to handle fame and fortune.
That was one of the things we talked about. I said I wanted to be
a mentor.
Be able to say things that, you know, maybe some guys that aren't from where I'm from can say. And I want to mentor the guys and make sure they're doing the right thing. And, you know, if they need any help, let them know they can call me.
You know, at the same stage, you know, early in your career, what were some of your smart moves?
My smartest move was when my first paycheck from Atlantic Records, I paid off my student loan. That was the smartest move. But we were lucky. We were such a band, Hootie and the Blowfish. We were such a band that... What the other three guys in the band thought meant everything to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was really important that they thought good. And so our best move was how we just, no matter who wrote the song, we split it four ways. Because we didn't want to get put in a position where we got all these songs on the record and somebody's fighting for their song to be the single. Right. Somebody's fighting.
Because that's the way bands break up,
isn't
it?
That's the way bands break up. You know, we had heard of some bands who the songwriter was living in a mansion and the other guys had day jobs. And we didn't want to be like that if we had made it. And so that was a great business move by us because it kept us together and kept us tight.
You know, in addition to MGC Sports, you've kind of branched into acting as well.
That's been funny. You know, some cool things came up. And I'm not trying to get into the acting world, I don't think, or anything like that. But some cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, but I mean, you're a performer. It's sort of a natural thing.
And I enjoyed acting. Trust me, what I did, I enjoyed so much. But it was just for fun. You know, Hawaii 5-0, I get to go to Hawaii for 6 days and seven, 8 days and, you know, tape a TV show. And it's if something comes up, I'll say yes to it.
Yeah, but what about Undercover Boss?
That was so much fun.
Really?
That was really a lot of fun. And to get to affect lives the way we did with that show was that was one of the great things I've done. I enjoyed that to no end.
Well, I've got here CMT Sun Records, Johnny Bragg of the Prisoners.
Yes, that's probably been my favorite role, was to play Johnny Bragg. Because I love the Prisoners. I get their story is so unique and so you know, original, and that was fun to get to really. That was the one time I really got to act was doing that.
And that's something you're familiar with,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, something I knew about. So yeah. it was fun trying to be Johnny.
And you've got Darius Rucker's backstage whiskey.
Yeah.
You get like little sort of tentacles spreading all over the place here.
Yeah,
I said little tentacles, by the way.
I heard that. And it's funny because all these great things are coming, you know, now. And I'm a whiskey drinker. I always have been. Whiskey and bourbon, I love it. Yeah, I love them both. And we actually have a Kentucky bourbon coming out soon, in 3 years. But just buddies from college came to me with this idea, and I was like, yeah, man. And it's a lot of fun, man. I got my own bourbon. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you and I did Hollywood Game Night together.
Yes.
You know, one of us doesn't draw particularly well.
That would be me. But that was a fun night.
That was. Tell me how you got involved with St. Jude.
Well, I was a baby band on the Dierks Bentley, Brad Paisley tour, which means I was the guy who played first at 30 minutes. And we were in Memphis, and somebody said, you guys want to go to St. Jude's and tour it. And so Dierks, I was like, yeah, we'll go see it. And we went and see it, and I was just...
Blown away. It's amazing, isn't it?
Blown away. And talking to the, you know, not just the patients there, but talking to the doctors and administrators, when I learned no one ever gets a bill, that was shocking to me, because I know how, you know, I'm on the board of a children's hospital, but I know how expensive it is to run a hospital, and nobody gets a bill. The thing that really blew me away is when they said, if we found a cure for something right now, we'd put it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, that's crazy. Hospitals love to keep that to themselves and, you know, use it until they have to give it. They were like, the second we discovered it, we'd put it on the internet. And I thought that was amazing. And so I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something to help that financial burden that you have when you're running a free hospital. And so I started with my Darius and Friends.
Well, you've got three kids. Carrie is 22, Danny is 15, and Jack is 11. Your oldest is 22.
22. I can't believe that either.
You're not old enough to have a 22-year-old.
I'm 51. Every time I see her, I go, you're 22, yeah.
Who's Darius Rucker as a parent?
I think I'm a good parent. You know, it's really great in my situation, much as I travel, to have somebody at home like my wife who is really... I mean, she's a rock. She, you know, I travel a lot and work a lot. And when it's not the summer, the kids aren't with me or whatever. But for me as a parent, I'm the parent who loves to laugh. But if daddy's mad, then it's a bad thing. If what you did made daddy unhappy, then you know it's a bad thing. If daddy's coming to talk to me, it's not a good thing.
Are they going to follow you into any of the family businesses?
I tell you, one of the things that makes me the happiest is that none of them want to be in the music business.
Yeah.
That makes me happy, because it's a hard business. My son says he wants to be a professional golfer or a sports management guy, so I guess I told him I'll stay in the business as long until you get out of college. But now they're all great kids. I love them. But no, they don't want to be musicians. That's a good thing.
Well, you have influence over them for such a short time, really. What's the most important thing you try to teach them?
Oh, I think the most important thing that I try to teach my kids is to help other folks, to help people that need help. You know, do what you can. Because even growing up with nothing like I did, that was something that was taught to me constantly, was, you know, we help people that we can help.
You're going to go down in history as one of the most prolific recording artists in several genres, it seems to me. What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, goodness. Honestly, when I'm gone and I want people to say, yeah, he had good music, but he was a real nice dude. He's a nice guy. Darius was a nice guy. That's what I would want my legacy to be.
Well, you've been real nice this afternoon talking to me.
Darius was inspired by the Beatles, Kiss, and even Barry Manilow. He grew up watching Hee Haw on TV and loving the songs of Billy Joel, Al Green, and Charlie Pride. And he says it wasn't the singers themselves that got him, but the songs they sang. He also loves the game of golf and might play more than 200 rounds this year if he can keep his bus pointed in the right direction. Anyone who has time to play 200 rounds a year and not need to make a living doing it has figured out the secret to true life happiness. That's our show for tonight. You may not be able to sing like Darius Rucker, but you can play around tomorrow and follow me on Facebook, Instagram, at Fehertwit, and at Feherty.com. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Feherty has been taped in front of a live audience at the NBC Sports Grill & Brew at Universal Orlando Resort.